Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Late Night. I was going to say Late Night Live. I knew I was going to do that sometime. On Sunday nights at 11 o'clock, it would be Late Night Live with Pastor Al, but this is Live with Pastor Al, and that's Friday afternoon. So it's kind of hard to say, well, actually it wasn't hard to say it at all. I just said it. It doesn't quite apply to say Late Night Live with Pastor Al when I start at 1:30 in the afternoon. But on Sunday nights when we start at 11 o'clock at night, that is Late Night Live with Pastor Al. But this is Live with Pastor Al. And yes, I am Pastor Al, joining you here on AM 1220 The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. And I hope it'll be a blessing in some way to you here today. And I just wanted to share a couple of things here with the program this afternoon. But just a reminder, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can not only find out more about me and the program, you can also link and find out about our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. Certainly invite you to visit us out there. We've got our Friday night Bible study tonight at 7 o'clock. Starts at 7 o'clock. It's informal. You bring questions and questions about the Bible, question about current events in light of God's Word. And like I said, it's an informal setting, and we have refreshments, and it's just a good time of fellowship and looking at what the Bible has to say and looking what's happening in the world and relating it to the Bible, trying to develop not only an understanding of the Word of God, but also help develop a biblical worldview, and also to be an encouragement when we see what's happening. The world seems to be falling apart around us. It is good to get into the Word of God together. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 10, we're even commanded not to forsake the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some is. He says, and he actually goes on to say that as the day gets closer, meaning the returning of Christ, it's more and more important to be gathered together because we can encourage one another in the Lord. So that'll be tonight, 7 o'clock at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express is where we meet, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, right off from Interstate 77 where the Ohio Turnpike is, or right off from the Ohio Turnpike where Interstate 77 is, either one. We're right there on Brecksville Road, State Route 21, midway between Akron and Cleveland. And we'd love to have you visit us. And then, of course, our regular services will be there on Sunday. And, of course, on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, I'm currently preaching through the book of 1 Peter. And then on Sunday night at 6 o'clock, I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs. And that's what we're doing there, just going through the Bible bit by bit, line upon line, precept upon precept, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, just having a good time exploring and seeing what God's Word has to say and relating it to the world around us today. Well, let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer here. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Pray that you would bless the program. Help us be an encouragement to somebody. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to be a blessing and a help to somebody today. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to also mention you can find us online live with pastoral.com, and we've got some of our past programs there, as I was mentioning, live with pastoral.com. The program last week, we had some people asking about it. They had Rod Black on, and his book, When a Child of God Dies, a good interview, and that is available on there, so encourage you to check that out, and I think there's also a link to his website for Sermon and Song Ministries, and you can find all that at livewithpastoral.com. Well, I wanted to get into something here today that is exciting. You know, we see all the negative news that's happening around us, and we don't see the victories that occur sometimes, but we had a tremendous victory in the Ohio legislature here today, or this past week. What happened is we had a bill that came through, and it was Senate Bill 157, and this is the Born Alive Infant Protection Act, Senate Bill 157. It passed the House today, on Wednesday, and it had previously been in the Senate. That's where it originated, hence the term Senate Bill 157. It went through the Senate. It was passed by the Senate, and then it went to the House, went through committee in the House. I believe the history of this bill, if I believe correctly, I think it was introduced last spring sometime, but it made it through, and until finally, here we have it in the House, and it was up for a floor vote. It passed, and they're sending it on to the governor for his signature now. And you say, wow, this is great. I mean, this is, I'll touch on a couple of key points on it here just momentarily here, but we need to pray the governor signs it and that it gets enacted here soon. It's not an emergency bill, so I think it takes, 90 days or something like that before it can take effect. But it's in the works now, and I've criticized Governor DeWine frequently on the radio, especially his handling, or should I say mishandling, of the Fauci flu, the COVID situation. Some things that he has done, that he's done very well, some of this life issues, for instance, the Ohio Heartbeat Bill. I remember being down in the State House when some of the hearings were taking place on that. And now this one right here, Senate Bill 157, is hopefully going to his desk, and it will be signed, and then after the period of time goes by, it'll be enacted, and this has got the potential to save a lot of lives in the state, a lot of lives of unborn children. And I was looking at this, and I thought, as good as this is, and like I said, it's a tremendous victory, but it was a little sad piece of news here with that I looked at. And I actually took the time this morning to go through it because I just wanted to make sure. And I started with the House vote. And in the House, it was passed 61-35. And you think, who in the world could have voted against a bill that would protect babies that were born alive? As a result, abortion wasn't successful, and the baby comes into the world. There's no way you can say, well, is the baby viable? Is it really a life yet? All the nonsense arguments that the abortion activists trumpet. But this particular bill is very solid, and it essentially, they said, no baby in Ohio, regardless of the circumstances surrounding his or her birth, should be left alone to die. And unfortunately, that's what's happened sometimes. Mary Parker, Director of Legislative Affairs at Ohio Right to Life, was saying this. And because we do see cases and hear cases where they leave the baby on a tray or something like that, and it's a newborn child, it's obviously alive, and they just let it die. Mary Parker said, as I said, no baby in Ohio, regardless of the circumstances surrounding his or her birth, should be left alone to die. This vital anti-infanticide legislation will ensure that a baby who survives a botched abortion receives life-saving care. It will also hold abortionists accountable by establishing a reporting requirement to document when a child is born alive after an aborted or an attempted abortion. Ohio Right to Life will continue to advocate for the right of every defenseless child, both born and unborn. But when we look at this, the idea that a child could be born alive and left to die, just neglected, allowed to die alone, a living baby. And it doesn't matter whether it survived the abortion attempt or not. It's alive. It's a child. I know the governor of Virginia had made the statement that, after the baby is born, the parents and the doctor should get together to decide whether to allow the baby to live or not, basically. And then we had the New York legislature erupting in cheers like they'd won the Super Bowl or something when they passed legislation authorizing abortion up to and including during the time that a baby is being delivered. Absolutely horrible. And that is infanticide when you get to it and get down to it. And so who would be objecting to this? And even some cases, they don't even keep records of the children that survive abortion attempts and are born alive and then left to die. So who in the world could be against protecting a newborn baby? I mean, think about it. Senator Terry Johnson, he's also a physician, and he was a lead sponsor of it. He said the bill acknowledges a simple fact that regardless of the circumstances surrounding his or her birth, every child deserves our compassion and care. And, you know, there are babies every year that survive, and there's an estimate of them because a lot of states just simply don't keep track of these records. But between 2016 and 2018, three states reported 40 babies born alive after botched abortions. According to the data, 11 of them were born alive in Minnesota, 10 in Arizona, and 19 in Florida. Texas reported 6 babies born alive after botched abortions in 2019. Michigan reported from 2008 through 2013, 11 babies born alive after abortions. And so we know that it's happening. And so again, I ask, who in the world could be against this? Well, in the House, there were 35 people who were against this. And so I went looking at it. And you can go to ohiohouse.gov, that's ohiohouse.gov, and then click on the thing for legislation. In the search box, put in SB 157 and click on that. You'll get all kinds of interesting information on that piece of legislation, including the votes. And you can see the people who voted for it, 61. Every one of them was a Republican, by the way. And you can see who voted against it. And like I said, that was 55 or 35. Every single one of them was a Democrat. Now, you're free to identify with whichever political party you want to, Republican or Democrat. But let me just say this. Not one single Democrat in the Ohio House of Representatives felt that they could support the life of a child, not an unborn. We're not talking about an unborn child. We're talking about not one single Democrat in the Ohio House of Representatives could vote to protect the life of a born child who survived an abortion. Once the child was born, not a single Democrat in the Ohio House of Representatives could vote for legislation saying that that child's life has to be protected. Isn't that sad? Well, I thought, well, let's look in the Senate. So I took a look at the Senate, and the Senate had previously passed this back in October, late October, and there were 25 that voted for it. There were 6 that voted against it. And so I went through all 25, and every one of the 25 that voted for it was a Republican. And then I looked at the 6 who voted against it, and all 6 of them were Democrats. Again, not one Democrat in the Ohio House or the Ohio Senate could vote for legislation to protect the life of a baby that's born alive following a botched abortion. Not one Democrat could vote for that kind of legislation. Every single no vote in the Ohio Senate and the Ohio House was a Democrat. Every single yes vote was a Republican. Well, let me ask you, which is the party of life? Well, I think the way these people vote kind of gives you an indication, doesn't it, what the party of life, or maybe I should have asked, what's the party of death? Not one Democrat in the Ohio House or the Ohio Senate could vote to protect the life of an unborn child. You know, we have primaries coming up in a few months, not too far. We have primaries coming up in the spring, and I would certainly suggest when you go to your voting in the primaries, and you're looking at the people who are running for re-election or who want to be in office, you might want to ask them, did they vote? Or if they were there, would they have voted to support and protect the life of children who are born alive? Or would they have voted against them? It's a good question. Well, something to consider. And it's something to consider next year in the general vote in November when you see these people. And I guarantee a lot of these Democrats that are running, they're going to be speaking to churches saying, vote for us. Vote for us. But wait a minute. Why not vote your biblical values? If you value life, you might want to take a look at how some of these people are voting for here in the Ohio House of Representatives and the Ohio Senate. Well, I just wanted to share that here, but it is good news that this was passed and it's going to become a law in Ohio. It's going to be taking effect, and it's going to protect children. It is going to, like I said, require the babies to be treated and receive life-saving treatment. It's also going to require a report so that the Ohio Department of Health will actually keep a record of babies that are born alive. And there's some other good material in there. It's also going to have an amend a variance provision by prohibiting abortion facilities from having consulting agreements with doctors who work for taxpayer-funded hospitals, universities, or other public institutions, and some other things in there as well. But you can go online. You can look that up. Go to ohiohouse.gov. And in the legislation search box, put in SB 157, and you can read about that. And there's some other materials that you'll find coming out, I'm sure, here in the coming days, talking about it. There was one other thing I wanted to mention there. One thing I wanted to mention before I move on to another thing I want to talk about. Another key aspect of Senate Bill 157 is it separates Ohio tax dollars from abortion. This is a tremendous victory, a victory for life, and certainly I would think that God's people would be on the side of life, advocating for life. You know, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about life and death, and we see that death entered into the Bible after Adam and Eve disobeyed God. In fact, Paul writes in Romans, by one man's sin, death entered into the world, or sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And we see that God had commanded Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He gave the command to Adam in Genesis chapter 2. And of course, Adam would have shared that with Eve. Certainly, Eve would have been aware of it. As you read in chapter 3, she was at least aware of it. And he had said, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And And then, of course, when Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they knew good, but the only way they could know evil was to do something that was not good, because good, after all, is really the absence, evil, after all, is the absence of good. We think of evil being the opposite of good, but it's the absence of good. And when they did something that was not good, they experienced evil. They now knew good and evil. And so, but they didn't die. The Bible says they lived for hundreds of years after that. In fact, it says over in chapter number 5, it says in Genesis chapter 5, verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. It doesn't sound like he died that day. Well, but he did. He did die that day. He died that day spiritually, because death is fundamentally a separation. And when they disobeyed God, when the Bible says that they ate the fruit, and in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, it says the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now, God knew exactly where Adam was. He knew exactly what had happened. But the reason he called him and said, where art thou? He wanted Adam to admit what he had done. Because, see, the perfect fellowship that God had enjoyed with Adam and that Adam had enjoyed with God has now been broken because Adam had died spiritually. The moment he disobeyed God and ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he now experienced evil, and he became a sinner by choice. Remember, Eve was talked into it, the Bible says, beguiled. She was talked into it, tricked into it by the devil in the form of the serpent. And Adam, on the other hand, willingly chose to disobey God. Not getting all the reasons for his choice right now for time's sake, but the moment that he did, he died spiritually. Remember, we're creating God's image, body, soul, and spirit. And it's through the spirit that we have fellowship with God. And he died spiritually. Immediately, he died when he ate the forbidden fruit. Physical death did not take place until 900 and some years later. We saw there, as I said in chapter 5, in verse 5, that he lived 930 years and he died. But he died spiritually, and so God began immediately to make a plan of redemption. And we don't have time to get into it, but let me just give you a quick nutshell here. The curse that was placed and the things that took place as a result of that, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so Adam and Eve's children were born with a sin nature. They inherited it from Adam. And that's where we see already in the fourth chapter, Adam and Eve have two sons, Cain and Abel. And we see Cain, the first murderer, killing his brother Abel. And it doesn't take long as you go further down. There's another guy who kills somebody else. And so murder and death is in the world and wickedness. And it's not too many chapters later, chapter 6, that we have where the world had become so evil that God says he's going to destroy the world. And he saved Noah and his family, command them to build the ark. But there was the promise of a coming Messiah, the promise. And that promise was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, who in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ came into the world, born of the Virgin Mary, so that he did not inherit the sin nature that he would have had he had a human father. And he came into this world so that he could bear Adam's sin and our sins in his own flesh as he went to the cross and he hung there and shed his blood to pay for our sins. Well, he did that because God loves us and he wants us to be with him. And when we confess our sin and we believe and we put our faith in Christ, believing that he paid for our sins, the Bible says God will forgive us of our sins and make us his children. He'll restore the fellowship that was lost with Adam. I want to thank you for listening. Join us next time. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.